Commanders 2024 NFL Draft Grade and Individual Player Grades next on Command Fan. What's going on, Commanders fans, and welcome back to another episode of Command Fan. I'm your host, Tate Edwards, and the draft is now officially over, and I have had time to reflect on some of the picks and also to look at some of the undrafted free agents that we have signed after the draft. And some of them are some big names that you will hear in the end of the pod, but let's go over the title of this episode is going to be the Commanders overall draft grade, what I gave it, and go in depth of pros and cons as well. And then we're going to get on into each player's grade. But first, the overall Commanders draft grade I give him an A-. I would give him an A+, but you'll see later on that I thought there were better players available in the same position that they drafted. Not to say I didn't like the player they drafted, but I definitely thought that there was better talent available at the position that they did draft. But overall, I give their grade an A-, so very good grade for Adam Peters' first draft as being an official GM for the Commanders. I really loved what they did overall, though. I can't have much to complain. Over the first con I have is we got our franchise quarterback. I really feel that Jaden Daniels is the guy that will be the savior in Washington, if you will, and be here a while, because I just love the way that he has handled himself. I think he's exactly what you want drafting a franchise quarterback, especially at number two overall. And then you can't forget about what he does on the field. And what he does on the field is something special. I can't wait to watch him play. But that was my first pro, that we got our franchise quarterback. And I feel like they really addressed every need on the roster. Whether or not I agreed with the pick, but I don't know what their draft board exactly looked like. We can get a feel for what it kind of did based on their draft picks. But I think they filled out every needed hole, like quarterback, corner, wide receiver, O-line especially. I'll get into the O-line more later on, but I think they drafted where they needed to, where they needed to fill holes. Not that they filled them, but they helped the need there, so it's not as big of a need after the draft, which is what Adam Peters wanted. He said he wanted to build through the draft, and I think that he did that here, and got in the second round, got one of the best players available. So that's why, another reason why I give him an A-. And I just mentioned value, but I think they got great value at certain picks. And also with the trade that they did for the Eagles, I thought that they definitely won that trade, turned one second round pick into two, and that's going to help in the long run. I think they got two very good players in return for just one. And that's when they traded down from 40 to 50 and got 53 as well. So I love that pick. I think that has great value to the trade as well, but also the draft picks they got, I think they got great value as well. And a lot of players that they drafted were team captains, so they're great personalities to have in the locker room. I think they can definitely step away from this draft and say they got great men and also great players as well. And then I have this, in all caps, is Johnny Newton. I love that pick. I was a little skeptical when the draft was happening, because obviously that's not a need that we needed to fill, was defensive line. But Johnny Newton was easily the best player available. He's the best defensive tackle in the class, in my opinion, and also in a lot of other mock drafters' opinions, and experts like Daniel Jeremiah, Mel Kiper, all had him highly ranked as a first-round pick, and he fell to us all the way at 36. And reflecting on it now, like the rotation that we can have with Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, and now Johnny Newton, and even Fedarian Mathis, if he can step up and play like a second round pick himself, because he was selected in the second round, and obviously his career has been pretty injury filled, and so hopefully this is the year that he can finally break that injury curse and step up and then help that D-line even more. But man, I cannot wait to watch the D-line play with Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne and now Johnny Newton. I thought that was a great pick. Now I think it's a great pick. I was, like I said, a little skeptical, but yeah, I definitely give that grade, will be a high one for me. And then so let's go move on to the cons. There's not many cons. The pros definitely outweigh the cons, but like I said, I had some players that were available, with like Luke McCaffrey, for instance. I thought that Troy Franklin was the best receiver on the board. And not to say Luke McCaffrey isn't going to be a stud. I think he could definitely be a stud. He has that potential to be. But I think Troy Franklin would have been a better pick there. And also just Ben Sinnott, tight end out of Kansas State. I like him. How he fits into the scheme. But I really liked Jatavion Sanders, tight end out of Texas. I thought we could have maybe taken him. But that's really it. To be honest, those are the only two names that I would say better players, in my opinion, at the same position drafted. And then one of the cons is we didn't get one of the top tackles. I think tackle was the biggest need in this draft, not named quarterback. But I know the Commanders have had talks about moving up in the draft, and they just didn't have any suitors, anyone that would trade up with them. So you got to have a partner to trade up, and I don't think they had one, so it's not really their fault. And it might have been really expensive. We don't really know what the talks were and what the price was set at to move up for a guy maybe like Tyler Guyton, Amarius Mims, or one of the guys that fell. Not fell, but was taken in the later round of the end of the first round. One of the top, and then like I think we didn't draft enough offensive line help. I would have liked to draft at least two players on the offensive line. Maybe trade up into the sixth round or fifth round again, because we had a pretty big gap from the fourth to the seventh. So I would have liked to see them be a little more aggressive moving up to get a tackle or a guard. But maybe maybe their board just didn't shape out to where they felt like it was worth it to trade up. So I've said this in a lot of podcasts, but I'm going to trust Adam Peters and Dan Quinn's vision, especially Adam Peters, to where he wants this team to be as he comes from winning. All he has done is win. Those are my pros and cons. Let's move on to each player grade and why. Obviously, I'm going to start off with Jaden Daniels, A+. Like I said, I think Jaden Daniels is going to be our franchise guy. And I cannot wait to watch him play. I keep repeating myself because I've done so many pods on Jaden Daniels and talking about him because he was the star of our draft, but he's our franchise guy. I truly, truly believe that. I think they were right to not take Drake May. So Jaden Daniels gets an A+. And then our second selection was Johnny Newton, defensive tackle out of Illinois. The best defensive tackle in the draft, in my opinion. And I give this one an A-. The only reason why I didn't give it an A+ is because it wasn't really a position of need. That's really only why. But Johnny Newton, I cannot wait to see him play. He's going to make an immediate impact. It's also going to help Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne out a lot as well, because they're going to be able to rotate more and not have to play as many snaps as they did last year. So Johnny Newton, I expect him to have an immediate impact. I hope he can be in the running for Defensive Rookie of the Year, as well as Jaden Daniels for Offensive Rookie of the Year. So I think we have two strong candidates. And then next one is Mike Sainristil, cornerback out of Michigan. I gave this one an A. I think he was one of the best, or if not the best, the slot corner in the draft. Just hearing everything that everyone said, especially like Nick Saban, the big personalities, big coaches around the league that have had a tremendous success, all spoke very highly of him. I think he's going to come in and be an immediate impact player in the secondary. And we also, it was a very big hole. I think they filled it. I think Ben St. Juice, Manuel Forbes, and Mike Sainristil will all benefit each other. And especially Mike Sainristil being a more physical DB, even only being 5'9". But he's very athletic. He knows he has a knack for the football. So I cannot wait to see him make an immediate impact. And then the next selection was Ben Sinnott, tight end out of Kansas State. This was one of the ones that I would have liked to see, Jatavion Sanders. I think we just need another playmaker. Not that Ben Sinnott isn't. He's definitely a good pass catching and good route runner for a tight end. He's 6'4", 250 pounds. So he's a really good blocker as well. We can also line him up at the fullback position. I really like that he can move around and not just play tight end. He can block as well. He's a good blocking tight end. Kind of like John Bates, but John Bates is not as athletically gifted as Ben Sinnott is. And so I like that pick for him to be able to be our tight end too behind Zach Ertz is what I intend him to be in the depth chart. But I gave this pick a B- just because of the position that I thought there was a guy ahead of him that we could have drafted. But Ben Sinnott, don't hate the pick, like it, just don't love it. Brandon Coleman, I give it a B+, just because he is he just has a question marks around if he can be a tackle in the NFL or if he's a guard. And that's just, it's really on Bobby Johnson to figure out, get that tackle out of him, because we need him to play tackle. We need him to play left tackle. He's played tackle at TCU last year, which is a very good sign. And I like the position flex again. I like that he can play guard or play tackle. I hate that I'm using the word position flex because that's what the previous regime uses, but I don't really know what else to use. But we needed a tackle and guard. Maybe got 2-1 here. I think he's going to probably start at tackle. I think they're going to give him every chance to start at tackle. I like the pick. He's got a lot of upside. He's very athletic as a tackle. He's got very long arms to be able to be go outside and be a tackle. He's the highest athletically ranked player on the NFL's website at the combine. And so that's really a good thing to have when you're trying to solidify your left tackle need. The next one was Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver out of Rice. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey's brother. This is another one I give a B-. Just because I really liked Troy Franklin out of Oregon. I thought we could have picked him here. Obviously, he slid way farther than I thought he would have. He actually gets to pair up with his old college quarterback, Bo Nix, in Denver. But McCaffrey, B-. I think he could be a great slot receiver and take some pressure off of Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. We also just had way too many questions here, and I think he's going to shore it up. I think he'll be a really good slot receiver with us. I think he really will. He's 6'2", so bigger slot guy, but teams can use the slot however they want. They can line up Jahan, Terry, and Luke in the slot, whatever they want. I really like his quickness, as Adam Peters said as well. For those of you that don't know, he was actually a quarterback at Nebraska, and then he transferred to Rice and ended up being a receiver there. But yeah, I think Luke McCaffrey has a lot of potential to be kind of a Puka Nacua-ish player. Maybe not put up the rookie year he had, but I think he could be a definite instant impact out of the slot and get maybe 500 to 700 yards from Jaden Daniels. And then as we get lower down on the board, these are guys that I didn't know too much about heading into the draft, so I won't have that much to comment on them. But also Jordan McGee, linebacker out of Temple. I give this one an A-, based on what everyone said. And also he is a former team captain at Temple. He played there 3 seasons, other teams in tackles in each of the past 2 seasons. Last season, he had a team-high 14 tackles for loss and was tied with the most sacks with 3.5 from the linebacker position. He also played special teams, so I expect him to be a special teams contributor. But he's definitely a faster linebacker. We just have a really stacked linebacker group after the free agency class we had with Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, and Jamin Davis. So it's going to be hard to see for him to see the field, barring any injuries that happen to that core. But Jordan McGee, I think he could be a developmental piece in that linebacker group, hopefully learn a lot from Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu as well. So pick 161 in the 5th round, Dominique Hampton, safety out of Washington. This one I give a B. I like his build. He's 6'2", 215 pounds. So he's definitely a bigger, I almost said receiver, safety. I think he could also move into linebacker if we needed him to. He's big enough to do that. He has good size. And he's also a very good special teams contributor as well. I think that is where he's going to contribute most. We're going to have Jeremy Chain, Derek Forrest, Quan Martin, Percy Butler, and Jeremy Reeves are all in the safety room, so I don't expect him to see the field, again, barring any injuries. And then our last pick of the draft was at number 222 in round 7, Javon Jean-Baptiste, defensive end out of Notre Dame. He actually spent his first 5 years in college at Ohio State and then transferred to Notre Dame last year. And one thing that stuck out to me from him at the combine was he had ran the fastest time with a 4.66 40 among defensive ends. So that was really good. He's a definitely athletic edge rusher. And edge rusher was another heavy need that I think, filled in free agency with Dorrance Armstrong. And then we also had players in-house like K.J. Henry, rookie from last year, Andre Jones, another rookie from last year, Dante Fowler, we bring him in. So I think we definitely have a deep defensive end class. Nowhere near the best in the league, but I think it's a good class, and I think Javonte Jean-Baptiste could definitely try and fight his way to see the field, get a few snaps in. But yeah, he's definitely a developmental piece as well. But I'm excited to see what he does, if he makes a team or if he's just a special teams contributor. We will see. So let's move on to the undrafted free agents. These ones I'm not going to go over too much, but the most notable one is Sam Hartman, quarterback out of Notre Dame. If you guys didn't watch the QB1, I don't know if it was Under the Lights, but it was a QB1 series on Netflix with Spencer Rattler as well. Sam Hartman was in it in high school. He was a quarterback. He was at Wake Forest, and he transferred to Notre Dame. He had some preseason hype, Heisman talks as well. I don't see him being anything contributing, really, unless Jaden Daniels goes down. I think Sam Hartman could definitely make the team as the quarterback 2 or 3. I don't see him being any more than a backup, though. But I do like the signing, and I think he'll be around for this season, at least. And then we also got a corner out of Colorado State, Chigozie Anuseum. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I probably am not, but he's a 6'1 corner, 200 pounds, and ran a 4.3 at his pro day. And a lot of scouts have been, when he ran that at his pro day, I think a lot of scouts were hitting up his phone saying he was going to get drafted, and then he didn't. So I think the Commanders definitely got a steal as far as undrafted free agents go. With the kind of player that he can turn into be. 6'1", 200 pounds, reminds me of Ben St. Juice. Ben St. Juice is a little taller, but 4'3", like that's an incredible speed for someone that is that tall and weighs at 200 pounds. So hopefully he can blossom into this great player. 4'3", like that's what blew me away, and I think that's what blew the Commanders away to sign them as well. And then I'll just read off the list of names. For those of you that want to hear the rest of them, Austin Jones, running back, USC, Ben Nickel, safety, Iowa State, David N. I put the N because I have no idea how to pronounce his last name. David, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but hit me up and tell me how to spell your name. He's a tackle out of Toledo. Tyler Owens, safety out of Texas Tech. Norrell Pollard, defensive tackle, Virginia Tech. Marcus Roseme, Jack Saint, wide receiver out of Georgia. Michael Willie, running back out of Arizona, A.J. Woods, corner out of Pitt, and Colson Yankoff, tight end out of UCLA. So we'll see. I love the draft again. I give it an A- from earlier in the pod. I think Adam Peters did a great job. Would have liked him to see get a little bit more O-line help, but also there is players out in the open market that I think we could definitely target and go after to sign. But yeah, next up is rookie mini camps, and we're getting closer and closer to the season. Also, the NFL schedule will be releasing soon, so I'll definitely have a pod on that. I love the schedule. I'm a schedule nerd, so that one, if look forward to that one. Hopefully, I can get someone on here to be able to talk about the schedule, but it should be coming up here pretty soon. Usually, it's in the second week of May, but the NFL hasn't said anything about it, so that means that they could definitely push it back if they're not ready. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you guys go follow me on social media at CommandFan on Twitter and ESPN. Or not ESPN, Instagram, I bet. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. Follow the pod where you're listening and leave me a review on feedback. I would really appreciate it with what episodes you guys want to hear coming up. But yeah, thank you guys so much and hail to the Commanders.